I love my friends. I want more friends. I love smiles. That is a fact. How to develop smiles? There are a variety of smiles. Some smiles are sarcastic. Some smiles are artificial, diplomatic smiles. These smiles do not produce satisfaction, but rather fear or suspicion. But a genuine smile gives us hope, freshness. If we want a genuine smile, then first we must produce the basis for a smile to come. If you have fear of some pain or suffering, you should examine whether there is anything you can do about it. If you can, there is no need to worry about it. If you cannot do anything, then also there is no need to worry. To be aware of a single shortcoming within oneself is more useful than to be aware of 1,000 in somebody else. Rather than speaking badly about people and in ways that will produce friction and unrest in their lives, we should practice a purer perception of them, and when we speak of others, speak of their good qualities. If you find yourself slandering anybody, first imagine that your mouth is filled with excrement. It will break you of the habit quickly enough. If you are mindful of death, it will not come as a surprise. You will not be anxious. You will feel that death is merely like changing your clothes. Consequently, at that point, you will be able to maintain your calmness of mind. To foster inner awareness, introspection and reasoning is more efficient than meditation and prayer. Right from the moment of our birth, we are under the care and kindness of our parents, and then later on in our life, when we are oppressed by sickness and become old, we are again dependent on the kindness of others. Since at the beginning and end of our lives we are so dependent on others' kindness, how can it be that in the middle we neglect kindness toward others? Scientific research and development should work together with meditative research and development, since both are concerned with similar objects. The one proceeds through experiment by instruments, and the other through inner experience and meditation. A clear distinction should be made between what is not found by science and what is found to be non-existent by science. What science finds to be non-existent, we must accept as non-existent. But what science merely does not find is a completely different matter. It is quite clear that there are many, many mysterious things. All of the different religious faiths, despite their philosophical differences, have a similar objective. Every religion emphasizes human improvement, love, respect for others, sharing other people's suffering. On these lines, every religion has more or less the same viewpoint and the same goal. In the case of one individual or person like myself, the practice of compassion and religion coincides. But another individual, without religion, can practice spirituality without being religious. So, a secular person can be spiritual. Compassion is compulsory for everyone to practice. And if I were a dictator, I would dictate to everyone to do so. Material progress alone is not sufficient to achieve an ideal society. Even in countries where great external progress has been made, mental problems have increased. No amount of legislation or coercion can accomplish the well-being of society, for this depends upon the internal attitude of the people who comprise it. Therefore, mental development, in harmony with material development, is very important. Sometimes one creates a dynamic impression by saying something, and sometimes one creates as significant an impression by remaining silent. All living beings, starting from insects, want happiness and not suffering. However, we are only one, whereas others are infinite in number. Thus, it can be clearly decided that others gaining happiness is more important than just yourself alone. It would be much more constructive if people tried to understand their supposed enemies. Learning to forgive is much more useful than merely picking up a stone and throwing it at the object of one's anger, the more so when the provocation is extreme. For it is under the greatest adversity that there exists the greatest potential for doing good, both for oneself and others. To develop patience, you need someone who willfully hurts you. Such people give us real opportunities to practice tolerance. They test our inner strength in a way that even our guru cannot. Basically, patience protects us from being discouraged. When a faulty deed has been done, after learning that it was wrong, one can engage in disclosure of the faulty deed in the presence of actual or imagined holy beings and develop an intention not to do that action again in the future. This diminishes the force of the ill deed. On the basis of external action, it is difficult to distinguish whether an action is violent or nonviolent. Basically, it depends on the motivation behind the action. If the motivation is negative, even though the external appearance may be smooth and gentle, in a deeper sense, the action is very violent. On the contrary, harsh actions and words done with a sincere, positive motivation are essentially nonviolent. In other words, violence is a destructive power. Nonviolence is constructive. To develop genuine devotion, you must know the meaning of teachings. The main emphasis in Buddhism is to transform the mind, and transformation depends on meditation. In order to meditate correctly, you must have knowledge, and communities, too, must be uplifted through knowledge. Kindness is the key to peace and harmony in family life. Families in exile must educate their children. They should be their first lama. A blossoming tree becomes bare and stripped in autumn. Beauty changes into ugliness, youth into old age, and fault into virtue. Things do not remain the same, and nothing really exists. Thus, appearances and emptiness exist simultaneously. Simply being praised is of no substantial help at all. It does not increase people's good fortune, nor does it make them live any longer. If temporary pleasure is all you want, you might as well take drugs. Yet many people invest much money and even deceive their friends to win status. This is quite stupid. Status and fame do not really help much in this life and do nothing for future lives. There is no point in being happy if we are famous or unhappy because people speak ill of us. It is said that if you want to know what you were doing in the past, look at your body now. If you want to know what will happen to you in the future, look at what your mind is doing now. Politicians need religion even more than a hermit in retreat. If a hermit acts out of bad motivation, he harms no one but himself. But if someone who can directly influence the whole of society acts with bad motivation, then a great number of people will be adversely affected. To renounce the world means to give up your attachment to the world. It does not mean that you have to separate yourself from it. The very purpose of our doctrine is to serve others. In order to serve others, you must remain in the society. You should not isolate yourself from the rest. According to Buddhist practice, Basically, there are three stages, or steps. The initial stage is to reduce attachment toward life. The second stage is the elimination of desire and attachment to this samsara. Then in the third stage, self-cherishing is eliminated. As a result of rigorous practice, I feel there is a possibility of cessation, that is, nirvana. True compassion is not just an emotional response, but a firm commitment founded on reason. Therefore, a truly compassionate attitude toward others does not change, even if they behave negatively. Through universal altruism, you develop a feeling of responsibility for others, the wish to help them actively overcome their problems.